Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
You're still tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, with your host, Mpumi K. Mbonane. I will not introduce our guest tonight because I really want him and his story to introduce him to the rest of us. Shane, hello.
Hello, Sis Bumi. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing.
Shane, let me tell you something. Every kid that I know, or the kid that I was, will either tell you they want to be a doctor or a lawyer or something like that. I've never heard a kid who ever dreams of being an entrepreneur. Ever. And I'm always fascinated by people who then become entrepreneurs. I always wonder, what dreams did they have? And how did those dreams land them in entrepreneurship? So how did you land in entrepreneurship? Were you forced into it by circumstances? Was it actually your dream? Are you the unicorn kid who dreamed of being a businessman and wanted to make their own money their way? We're struggling to hear you, Shane. I don't know if it's your volume or where you are, but there's a little bit of a connection issue.
Can you hear me now?
Perfectly.
All right. So, the question.
Yes.
I would say it's both the company and what I've always had.
Tell us more.
So, I've been being a driver prior.
Oh no, I'm really struggling to hear you. And I know it's Hello. Not my connection because it's quite strong. Can we try that
Can you
again?
Hear me now?
Yes.
So I was saying that I've been an e-hailing driver for quite some time.
All right.
And me being exposed to that kind of business.
Yes.
Kind of helped me to learn how to angle clients,
yeah,
and how the business of transporting people works.
Yeah.
So with me driving for e-hailing for quite some time, mm-hmm, I learned a lot that prompted me to eventually think of starting a business. Because oftentimes clients will ask me, do you do private trips?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. And yeah. I ended up building a client base that really needed me to register a company.
Yeah.
And,
I love where the story is going, and I'm going to go there with you just now. But I do want to ask, what did you want to be when you were a kid?
So growing up, I've always wanted to be a mechanic or a farmer.
A mechanic? Tell us why.
Well, I've always been fascinated with fixing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, fixing those broken things at home. My mother would sometimes, you know how African parents discipline us because of me breaking things and wanting to fix them again.
Yeah. So cars have always been a part of your destiny, I guess.
100%.
Interesting. And so what happened? Why didn't you become a mechanic? What led you to be an e-hailing service provider or a driver, I guess?
Well, as you grow older, you face certain challenges that lead you to a certain kind of work that you end up doing.
Yeah.
And I guess, again, as a man who believes in God, God would have wanted me to do what I'm doing right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Please, let's zoom into that. Why do you say that? Why are you convinced that this is what God would have wanted you to do? This is what he'd have you do?
There are so many things that I can talk about, but, you know, as an African child, when you kneel down and pray, God, please help me to be successful in life, be it work or business-wise.
Yeah.
Please help me to be successful in everything that I choose to do.
Mm.
And Elephant Star Shackles has been a blessing to me ever since I registered the company.
Mm.
And things have been just going well.
Yeah.
Of course, there have been challenges. But the way things have been, I can surely say I'm blessed.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah. And we'll talk about the broader purpose a bit later in the show. But I do want us to now go back to what you how you introduced yourself, right? As an e-hailing driver.
Yes.
Now you're doing this. You're hired obviously by somebody, and you have to give them an amount at the end of a said period. But then at some point, something clicks in your mind, and you say, "Hey, I could be the one that receives the funds at the end of the day, at the end of the month." How did that transition happen for you? What is the thing that dawned on you to say, instead of being somebody's employee, you can actually be an employer? This can be your line of trade.
So I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
Since 2020, I don't know how many times fuel costs have gone up.
Yeah.
Yet the prices for Uber and Bolt drivers' rides have remained the same.
Mm.
I don't know how those guys survive right now.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to balance the fuel cost and the maintenance of the vehicle and the prices that the e-hailing companies decide to charge. So for me, that became a challenge that it would be hard for me to make the end meet at the end of the day, to make income for myself and my family. As a young man who's growing up, who is ambitious, it would be hard for me to do certain things that I want because of the challenges of cost of fuel and vehicle maintenance.
Yeah.
So as I was sitting down, calculating how much I make and how much I'm spending on a car and fuel, I said, nah, let me just try to venture into this space of shackle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where had you seen it being successful for you to want to follow it as a business model?
Oh, I've seen a couple of companies.
Yeah.
That are busy. And again, there are some hotels whereby when you drop off, you get to talk with staff.
Yeah.
They will tell you that if you have cars, you can consider doing this. We can do some form of partnerships, things like that.
Mm.
And I've seen a couple of people that I know doing it, and they've been really doing well.
Yeah. Talk to me about after you registered the business, because now you've got an entire, what is it called? The thing, that number that the CIPC gives you?
Yes, you've got that
registration number. Now you are the director, because you told the government that I am a director. Let's move from the paper that says you're a director to you actually now directing this company. Talk to us about those first months. How did you get started? Did you get started with one car? How did it go? Did you have to pull cars together? Talk to us about the starting point.
Yeah, so there's a story behind this.
Yes.
Prior to me registering the company, I had 7 cars that were on e-hailing.
Okay, so you already had a fleet.
Yeah, so it was kind of a smooth transition for me from taking my cars off e-hailing just to make them work under my company.
So did you hire the same drivers for your shuttle services?
Yes.
So now I want to now juxtapose the two operations, right? What was the increase? Because I would love to believe the reason you're still in it is because it is more profitable. What did you start seeing the margins to be between when it was operating as a e-hailing and when it was now operating as a shuttle service?
Well, I saw a huge difference.
Yeah.
For example, one e-hailing company that I know charges at around 10 runs per kilometer.
Okay.
But that's not what the driver gets at the end of the day.
Of course.
They will get it around maybe 6 or 7 runs.
Mm.
So now that I'm doing this on my own, the whole amount that I charge becomes part of the company.
I was telling this other lady the other day that businesses rise and fall at to the level of their business models, right? Mm. If you have a bad business model, you can have a brilliant idea. But if you have a bad business model, you can forget have that business being sustainable. So please talk to us about the model that you operate in as a shuttle service. Because I think how you started by telling us that you were first in e-hailing speaks to that, right? It speaks to the difference in business models. So talk to us about what a shuttle service business model looks like for anyone who could be interested in getting into that sector.
So the model that I believe me and my team we work on is valuing high quality service.
Mm.
And we emphasize punctuality, comfort, professionalism towards our clients.
Mm.
And every time when we have clients use our services, we want to make sure that they feel valued and secure at all times.
So where do your shuttle services run? And I'm asking this because I'm really considering or thinking about somebody who is also sitting with the fleet of cars, right? Or who's also passionate about the transport industry and is looking to venture into something like this. So if they're wondering, where will I get bang for my buck? Where will I start getting more profits than in other avenues? So where do your shuttles go? Is it airports? Is it with corporate organizations? Is it for events companies? Where do you operate? Or yeah, what does that look like for you?
So we operate the whole of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We can go anywhere,
mm-hmm.
wherever our clients want to go to. And we go to the airports. We deal with corporate companies. Just last week, I had golfers from Zimbabwe, 60 of them.
60? Did you say 60?
Yeah.
Okay. Whoa.
So we had to make sure that they're safe. We take them from their hotel to the golf course, wherever they wanted to go.
Mm.
We were there to make sure that happens.
And your clientele? What does it look like? Is it male and pale, or is it melanated like you and me?
Yeah, I guess it is a mix. Okay. Everybody, we have a client base of or everybody. Yeah,
I
can see that. Yeah.
And entrepreneurship is a skill, right? It's not just an idea that you have and you're like, yeah, I'm going to sell. And if people like me, they'll buy. It goes beyond your personality. It really is a skill. And how do you sharpen your skill as an entrepreneur? How are you making sure that you are a better boss, that you are a better visionary, that your marketing is top notch, that you're able to do everything in the right way so you stay for the long haul?
For me, I would say discipline before anything else.
Yeah.
If you are disciplined, you are open to learning. I'm an African child, and I do not come from a family that has got businesses.
Yeah.
And there are some things that I never knew until I started this business.
Mm.
So being a team player, you can only be that when you are disciplined.
Yeah.
You can be a better team leader when you are disciplined.
Mm.
So you ought to be that person who can learn from other people as much as you can teach other people how to do certain things.
Mm.
I think that on its own has helped me and will continue to help me as I look up to other people who have built businesses before.
Mm.
And with discipline, I think I will go a long way.
Yeah. You mentioned team player, and nobody can be a team player alone. So I know that a lot of business owners really struggling with assembling teams. They either want to hire families or friends, and that often always doesn't work out. And then they offer people who are actually in competition with them, people who just want to see what they are doing so they can go and start their own thing that looks very similar to yours. So how have you navigated building a team that is for you, for your businesses, while also furthering their own endeavors. Because I don't believe that we should get into any employment just to further someone else's vision or mission. If you are going to be employed, it does make sense to also see how that aligns with your values and your purpose and your goals for the future. So how have you navigated putting a team together that will help you run the business well?
Yeah, that's one of the challenges that I face as an entrepreneur, finding that balance. Mm. You have a cousin who is unemployed.
Yeah, and you feel a sense of responsibility to them, right?
And you think about, hey, what if I hire this person and they come here, they do ABCD, you know? At the same time, the point that you just mentioned, if I hire this driver, what if they come, they want to lure my customers away from me, things like that. Mm. So for me, this is how I've navigated this path. I just do my best, treat them well. Whatever intentions that they may have, that is beyond my control. Yes. I just do what I can do to make sure that they're comfortable. We work well together.
Yeah.
They're happy at the end of the day. And that's what I can do.
And who do you have in your team? Who are the key players in your team?
So I have two of my friends. And
your friends? Shane?
Well, I can say my colleagues.
Okay.
You know, when you're colleagues, you end up building that relationship whereby you no longer see each other as colleagues.
Yes.
See as brothers or friends, you know. That's the relationship I've built with these guys. And sometimes my bigger brother helps me with ideas and marketing.
Yeah. Okay, what is your view on having a lawyer on hand, an accountant on hand, having, let's talk about those two, an accountant and a lawyer.
So having a lawyer is one of the most important thing as a small business starting up. However, there is a challenge that sometimes the money that you make, you can't afford one.
Mm.
Fortunately enough, I haven't been in a situation where I needed one.
Mm-hmm.
However, you will always need an accountant to help you with taxes and all that. Because this was an uncharted area for me. Never done taxes for a company before. So you will always need that help from those who are qualified to do it.
Yeah.
And I would like to emphasize to other entrepreneurs out there, it is important to pay your taxes.
The stories we've been seeing in the news, when SARS is fed up with you, they will come for you. When the tax collector, they will come for you. Now,
plus, it makes you a good business, be compliant, really be a good citizen, you know.
Yes, it really does. And doesn't the Bible tell us, give to Caesar
what belongs to Caesar?
You can't even start talking about tithe without having given Caesar his money.
Yeah.
So it's very, very important. I love that you mentioned that compliance piece, because a lot of entrepreneurs really run away from that. And I get it, because sometimes you don't make much. And so the little that you get to keep goes a long way.
Well, do it legally.
I hear you. I have a coach that says to me, if your business is not making money, you're just running an expensive hobby.
Of course.
Because it doesn't matter that it's not making money. It requires money from you.
Ish,
I'd love for you to speak about the innovative ways that you have approached marketing and sales.
The most important way that I've used is word of mouth.
Okay. Ooh, what do I mean by powerful? That
is whenever I pick up people, I ask them to, for example, this other time I had a team coming from the US, and I asked them, if you've got friends or family that are planning to come to South Africa, please share my number with them. I'm here. I'll make them comfortable. So the other way is I go to certain hotels, ask if we can work together, and I have been successful in some cases.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of hotels that I work with.
I
And every
love
time they've
that.
got clients who need shuttle services, they will call me. Yeah.
And social media? Do you use social media
Oh,
often?
yeah. We have a Facebook page that has got over 10,000 followers.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so I'll give you all to check
Please, shameless plug. Go ahead. That's why you're here.
it out. Yeah.
Okay.
And we do also do marketing at church.
Oh, tell us more. Oh, and I really want you to tell us more about that because that can be frowned upon. Some churches are just
Yeah.
like, hey, we are here to praise the Lord. What is this business talk you're talking about? So please talk to us about that.
Just last week, I transported a group of master guys. They were going to their camp. So, in as much as we'll be worshiping, we also need other services that can be provided by Abazalwana.
You are in the
Yeah.
business of people anyway, and the church has
You see
people.
what Yeah.
And how have you
So,
taken to that? How
sorry.
has the Adventist community supported you or not supported you? I'm really just keen on the relationship you have with your fellow brethren, where business is concerned.
I'd say I'm
Honestly.
happy so far. They are really
Oh,
trying. They're
you're a
really
lucky
trying.
one.
I am one of their own, so
You're a lucky one. You're a lucky one. And can
they
I
can
tell
do more. They could do
you?
more, but so far they're doing
Can I
well.
tell you why this is an important question for me, right? And maybe not even from the lens of church people supporting you, but you as a church person offering the service. There has been a cry where Adventists, particularly, are service providers. There has always been this thing, and I don't know if you've heard this conversation or if you've been a part of this conversation, that you cannot trust an Adventist to render a service for you because we are apparently one of the most unreliable groups of people in the service space and even in the product space. It's often said that when I come in and I want to, and I come in as somebody who makes cupboards, my cupboards will be falling apart in 3 weeks and I can't do anything because this is a brethren or somebody is a mechanic or they are a tailor and they really give you such bad service as a customer. Their clothes are not up to scratch. So, have you heard that conversation before? Have you been accused of something like that before? And if any of those are true, what do you think it is that people don't want to do business with their fellow Adventists because we are not known for an excellent spirit or the excellent spirit that was found in Daniel?
It's unfortunate that some people have got bad experience with using services from Adventists, and I sympathize with them. However, it's not everybody who provides bad service. Sometimes I think it's a little bit unfair when one experiences a bad service from a certain service provider who's from a certain denomination, and then they use an umbrella to say all of them are bad. You see, now I don't know, maybe I've never heard it myself. People are always happy with the service that we provide, and we strive to make sure that everybody is happy with our service. We do take some surveys after providing services,
Oh, I love that.
asking if people have been happy with the way we provided the service, where can we improve, you know? Yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting. How long have you been running your shuttle service? And maybe let's talk about it a bit. So you run a shuttle service called Elephant Star, right?
Elephant Star Shuttles, yes.
How long have you been running the shuttle service? And what is in the name? I think it was Ro no, it was who's this guy? This English person, Shakespeare, William Shakespeare. Is he English? Ooh. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would still smell as sweet. So, what is in your name? Why Elephant Star? What inspired that? And how long have you been running your shuttle
So,
service?
for your listeners, my last name is Ndlovu.
Okay,
So I
Mr.
translated that from
Elephant.
isiZulu to English as elephant. Yeah. Star is for 5-star service.
Oh, okay. We see you.
Yeah, so that's how we came about with the name. We had a discussion with my brother for a long time. And I've been in this business for over 5 years.
Oh, okay.
However, the business has been registered for 2 years now.
Why did it take that long to register?
So when you, I guess most people will understand it, that when you're an African child, you always think about if I register a business, now I have to pay taxes. This thing, this, that, all that responsibility. I don't think I want to do this, you know. But eventually, when you're dealing with clients, they will ask for your, is your business registered? They want to look up, you have a website, things like that. So you have to eventually do that so that you look more professional.
Yes, that's actually an interesting take. So for you, you found compliance to actually be a revenue generating tool for you, in that there are some organizations that wouldn't want to work with you unless you are compliant. Am
Yeah,
I
you
right?
compliant and registered. Yes,
Yeah,
yes.
yeah. And in the 5 years, what have been your biggest struggles as an entrepreneur? Because we have to be honest, it looks good on the outside. People
Oh,
who
goodness.
have autonomy, they manage their own time and they make as much as they want. But the truth is, entrepreneurship is hard. So, what are some challenges that you have encountered that you believe are common to any entrepreneur's journey, but also that have been unique to you and that you can now use as lessons for everybody else who's considering or is in entrepreneurship?
There are a number of challenges, but the biggest one is patience. That's number one challenge, I believe, for most entrepreneurs.
When the profits
You
are
know,
not
when
coming
you
in soon, you're just like, this is a failed endeavor.
building that resilience is a huge challenge. For one to realize the success of their business, they have to be patient and resilient. And that has been the biggest challenge. Sometimes it can be quiet, no work, or the work is not sufficient enough to keep the business running. But still, you have to be patient. And I'll give you an example.
Yes, please.
Post-COVID, during those first few months or years, things were a bit slow as the economy was recovering. Globally, people were starting to move, but not as much as they used to prior to COVID. So, if it wasn't for patience and resilience, I would have been out of business by now. Yeah. So, having patience and believing that not all days are the same, that's one thing that helps a lot.
Are there any other challenges you can think of?
Yes, other challenges is dealing with vacuum maintenance. It can be expensive, you know.
Dealing with?
Vacuum maintenance, it can be expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you want to make sure that your vehicles are up to standard at all times. So when you are comparing the work that you are getting in some months and the money that you're spending in maintaining the vehicle, sometimes it can be unbalanced, and that's a challenge. You still have to maintain a standard at your from your own pocket. Right. That's one challenge, because we're starting a company, you are not that busy compared to other well-established shuttle services. So that is one of the challenges. And one of the challenges is the one that we spoke about earlier, building that team that will stay with you, because clients will always enjoy seeing the same face. So it says a lot about your company again. You'll say, okay, these guys are well taken care of here, so we will continue supporting this business.
I know you mean,
Maybe
Yeah, you
Maintaining that
mentioned
team can be a challenge.
Resilience and tenacity earlier, and I'm curious about whether or not you had a day, that day where you were just like, you know what, I'm out of here. Let's shut down operations. Guys, I'm sorry, go find another job. Can you remember a day? Do you have a memory of a day where you really just wanted to throw in the towel for whatever reason?
Oh, yes.
It sounds like you've had more than one day.
I believe that is true for every entrepreneur there.
Yeah.
There we've all had that moment. So this other day, I received a call that one of my drivers had been hijacked. That was prior registering the company, but I was operating as Elephant Star Shackles, but it was not registered yet at that time.
Yeah.
So my driver was just pulling in the driveway where he lives, and unfortunately, he was hijacked. And as I said there, I asked myself if this is worth it.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Is the lemon worth the squeeze?
Yeah, trying it, and somebody just comes and take your property away from you.
And you know,
struggling to get it back.
Now that you mentioned hijacking, things like insurance came to mind. And I'm wondering if somebody is considering this business, they might actually be interested to know about the intricacies of the business, right? What are some things that, as a shuttle service, you need to always have in consideration, like your insurance and all other things that I may not readily mention because I'm not in the business, I don't know much. But what are some of the components and the intricacies that come with running a shuttle service?
Oh, yeah, you definitely need to have insurance.
Yeah.
Your vehicle has to be insured in case anything happens.
Yeah.
And your passengers, they need to be covered as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's one of the most important things.
Hold on. So
remember,
if I'm in an Uber.
About having lawyers earlier.
Yeah. If I'm in an Uber and the Uber gets into an accident, how does me being covered come into play there? If I'm in your shuttle service and the next thing I wake up in hospital, how does that work? Do you guys pay for my medical fees?
Insurance, by law, insurance should cover some of the hospital bills if the company is. Because I remember for e-hailing, they required one to have insurance that can cover up to 2 million or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that should be able to cover the relevant costs that are around that particular incident. That is for hospital bills and vehicle fixing and all that.
That sounds expensive. As a shuttle service, you're not driving hatchbacks, right? You're driving your big cars, right? And these cars are registered as being cars you use for business, so that alone already takes your insurance to a level.
Yeah, it's a business insurance.
100%.
The premiums, not the premiums are.
Yes, so now there's also covering the come on, that sounds like a lot.
It is It's not easy, but we're surviving.
Yeah. And now tell me about a day where you were just like, Lord, I am where I should be. This business is ordained by you. Talk to me about one of your most successful days. What happened?
There's this group of people contacted me, and they said they are 120. They will need to go to Kruger National Park. So you can already imagine that that kind of trip is going to bring lots of money.
Where were they from?
They were from Kenya.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I love that.
We took them there, and I was really grateful.
Yeah.
Getting that exposure, working with people from within Africa and even other continents, it shows that there's something right that you're doing.
There is something right.
And
absolutely.
There's a being up above that is helping you get those opportunities that other people are not getting.
Yeah.
And I've been really grateful because most of the times those people, they do not only come here once, or there will be other people that they know who are planning to come this side. And if you treat them well, they will definitely recommend you to the next group.
Yeah.
And that builds your client base.
For sure. I've heard that your best customer is someone that's bought already. Because 100%. if somebody can be a repeat client, you're definitely doing something right. That 100%. Is so beautiful. You mentioned 100%. That you do things locally, but you're now working in Africa as well, in the rest of Africa as well. What aspirations do you have for your business when your head hits the pillow at night and you dream about Elephant Star Shuttle services? What aspirations do you have? What do you see? Where do you see it going?
I want to expand my fleet. Get more work and be able to transport people even cross border. I've people who are still talking. They want me to take them to Victoria Falls. So I want to be able to do that with ease. Take them to wherever they want to go, and this guy is the limit for me. I want to be at that point whereby I can do almost everything that is related to shuttle. If somebody says that we want to go to Cape Town, I'm able to do that without having to outsource some of the cars or things like that.
Do you have international aspirations, and if you do, what does that look like?
Yes, I do have international aspirations. I'm still learning a lot. You know, there's a lot of rules and regulations that one needs to follow when you're transporting passengers. It's easier when you're doing it within South Africa because insurance can cover you within the borders of South Africa. But when you cross the border now, it becomes a different story. So I still have to familiarize myself more with the ins and outs of that. But eventually we will get to a level where we are comfortable to do everything with this.
Yeah, I pray that you get there. And I've got one last question for you, and I'm not going to ask it in the conventional. What advice would you tell somebody who, no, I'm not going to ask it like that, but here's how I will ask it. What is the thing that shocked you the most about entrepreneurship, and what can you say about that to somebody who's considering being an entrepreneur?
So one thing that shocked me about entrepreneurs is it's harder than having a 9-to-5 job.
It definitely is. I can testify.
So when you're working for somebody, really, you don't really worry much about getting clients. Yeah. All you worry about is, when am I being called to drive to a certain destination and get paid? But the story is different from an entrepreneur. You still have to find clients and deal with all these challenges that you discussed. So to those, to your listeners who are thinking of becoming an entrepreneur someday, I'll say entrepreneurship is a journey that requires resilience and passion. If you have a dream, start small, but stay committed. And I would also say to your listeners, please support small businesses. They are the backbone of the economy. So when we're doing well, the economy will do well as well.
And you know, okay, let me confess something to you. I don't believe in the notion of supporting a business. And here's why. I'm not disagreeing with you. I hear exactly what you're saying. But here's why I don't agree with that notion. Because you are in the business of serving people. And so whenever anybody interfaces with your business, they are reaching their own objectives. I am in Kenya. I want to go to Kruger National Park. That is in service of them. So people buying from you or people inquiring of your services or taking up your services is not in support of you. Your service is supporting them. So I often don't say to people, please support me.
I see.
Because I really believe that I'm here to serve you. I'm rendering you a service. And so if there's anybody being supported, it's you. You're being supported with transportation because you didn't have it before coming to me, right? And so I guess what I do agree with is people need to trust that we can actually support them in whatever their objective is, and we are capable. And hearing from you tonight, I'm realizing that people don't need to support you. They need to support themselves through your services, because you have proven to be very capable of supporting 100%. Them through your
100%.
And where do we get your services? How do we get in touch with you? Things are going to start happening very soon. It's wedding season has been unlocked for at least a couple of weeks in Africa, because, you know, Easter, some people go to church, some people are getting married. Weddings are cheaper in winter, but there's also so many things going on. People need transport. We're doing a lot of things. So where can we get you? How do we reach out to you? What are your colors? What is your logo? How can we spot you on the streets so that we know that it's you and we can trust that the people who are in there are insured, unlike a lot of services I can think about right now?
So for those who want to use our services, we are there on Facebook. Elephant Star Shackles.
Yes.
Facebook page. And I can share my number.
Yeah.
069 138.
Yeah.
6968. You can reach me at that number with whatever services that you need that are related to shackling.
Yeah.
We will be able to assist you.
I love that. And the logo looks like a dolphin. It really does. And so if you're into that kind of thing, that beauty and that out of, you know, otherworldly experience, I'm pretty sure that you will have that experience. It is elephant, a gigantic animal, and it is a star, meaning a top star service. And so if you want gigantic, or if you want to be treated like a very important being and receive 5-star service, Elephant Star Shuttles is the shuttle for you. And it offers services across our continent. It offers services across various industries. So if you are in need of shuttle services, Elephant Star is one that you need to consider strongly. Also because the brother is a believer. All right. But thank you so much for coming through, Shane. You have been absolutely amazing. I know and trust that the people have learned quite a great deal on entrepreneurship and on running a shuttle service, if that is something that they would like to get into. Is there anything else I haven't asked that you believe is important for people to know?
I think we have discussed almost everything.
Yeah.
I'll just say that for those that need shuttling services, they can reach out to us to make sure that they are well taken care of. And I would like to thank you for this marvelous opportunity that you've given to us as Elephant Star Shuttles to talk to us and talk to your listeners so that they can hear what we do and share our story. Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
You know, I know you're an entrepreneur because in your heart you said, yeah, she's saying it, but nobody can say it like me. I need to say it as well. But thank you so much for coming. I pray that God blesses your service, that it reaches new frontiers, and that He continues to make you smile and sends you clients over the 120 that made you smile the day that they came. Thank you so much. Have a lovely evening.
Thank you. God bless you.
Cheers. Thank you.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.